2 Kings chapter 5, we are going to start reading in verse number 3. And the Bible reads like this. Then king of Aram had high admiration for Naaman, the commander of his army, because through him the Lord had given Aram great victories. But though Naaman was a mighty warrior, he suffered. Someone say suffered. From leprosy. Now groups of Armenian raiders had invaded the land of Israel, and among their captives was a young girl who had been given Naaman's wife as a maid. One day, the girl said to her mistress, "I wish my master would go see the prophet in Samaria. He would heal him of his leprosy." Jump down to verse 9. Upon hearing this, Naaman went with his horses and chariots and waited at the door of Elijah's house. But Elijah sent a messenger out to him with his message, "Go and wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan River. Then your skin will be restored and you will be healed of leprosy." But Naaman became angry and stalked away. "I thought he was surely going to come out to meet me," he said. "I expected him to wave his hand over the leprosy and call on the name of his Lord, his God, and heal me. Aren't the Abania rivers and far river of Damascus better than all the rivers of Israel put together? Why shouldn't I wash in them and be healed?" So Naaman turned and went away in rage. But his officer tried to reason with him. You ever try to reason with someone that's angry? It's not that easy. So the officer tried to reason with him and said, "Sir, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, wouldn't you have done it? So you should certainly obey." Someone say obey. Obey, obey him when he says simply go and wash and be cured. So Naaman went down to the Jordan River, dipped himself 7 times as the man of God had instructed him, and his flesh became as healthy as a young child, and he was healed. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you. I'm asking you to take full control of this message. I pray that you would speak through me. I pray that you would meet the need of someone that came expecting, someone that wants a word, someone that needs a word, someone that needs a miracle. I pray you would inject faith in their life, God, so that they can obtain what you have for them. I thank you. I bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. So tonight I want to talk to you about this character that we just read, Naaman, who was a soldier. And I want to talk to you about change and growth. And tonight I want to challenge your perspective a little bit because I think that when you look at what's happening within our church, I believe that we are in a place or in a stage of growth. And I believe that God is preparing the stage for what he wants to do in 2016. And the more that I pray, the more that I feel the attacks of the enemy. Who's been going through some things? Just kind of wave at me. And in experiencing, pushback, or, you know, whenever you try to do something good, you're always going to feel opposition. And as I feel opposition, the Lord was ministering to me that what we are experiencing right now, what some of you are experiencing right now, it's growing pains. And growing pains are necessary in a small child in order for them to grow. And if you really would study what growing pains are, you would find that growing pains often occur in a child when they go through what's called growth spurts. And growth spurts are when a child grows at a quicker rate than normal. And there are some of you, you have been going through some things, and I feel like God is accelerating the process because you're experiencing a growth spurt. Growing pains don't always feel good, but they are necessary for a child to grow. And I believe that there are some of you spiritually, you're going through some things, and although you have committed your life to God, you feel like the heat got turned up. And you're even questioning, God, why am I going through what I'm going through? God, why does everything gotta be so hard? God says, don't worry. I'm putting these trials in front of you. And if we remember what James chapter 1 verse 2 says, it says, consider it pure joy when you experience trials of many kinds, because you know the testing of your faith develops perseverance. And perseverance, once it's matured, you will not lack anything. And there are some of you who have some rough edges, and God is simply saying, I'm trying to smooth you out, because what I have for you, you're going to need to be smoothed out. You're going to need these rough edges to go, because where I want to take you, rough edges won't fit. I really believe that we are in a time where God is going to begin to accelerate the process in the vision. If you don't know what the vision is, all you have to do is go to our website. I challenge you to memorize the mission statement, because Victory Outreach's mission statement says that we are called, listen to me, we are called to go into every inner city of the world. We are called to the task of evangelizing and discipling the hurting people of the world. And this call involves a commitment to plant training centers, churches, and rehab homes in strategic cities of the world. I believe that God is going to accelerate the process. And you got to understand this. We serve a progressive God. Yeah. What I mean by that is, God likes to take us from glory to glory. God doesn't bring us forward to take us back again. God takes us forward, right? And if he does take you two steps back, if you fall forward, you'll go three steps forward. Some of us got to learn that failure isn't a person. Failure is a part of the process. And some of you, you have been trying and it seems tough and you've been falling and you feel shameful and therefore it's hard for you to lift your hands. God told me to tell you, I don't know who you are, but God told me to tell you this, though a man falls seven times, he will rise again. So listen, it's okay. It's okay if you're falling. Now listen, what's not okay is if you keep falling and you don't change. Change is an indicator that growth is evident. If change is not evident, then growth isn't happening. Because you can come year after year, be here 10 years, and if you don't change, you're simply getting older. And we have to be people that commit to growth. Now, I gotta warn you that God's plan for your life may not pan out the way you thought it would. Sometimes God will show you things like, you're called to preach the gospel, but you'll never get asked to preach behind the pulpit. Come on, somebody. Some of you, you might be a pastor one day or a pastor's wife one day, and you're like, well, how come I feel like it's hard for me to work with people? And God says, don't worry about it. It's about my plan, not your plan. Amen. The key is we have to learn to commit to God's plans. And I choose to talk about this gentleman, Naaman, for a reason. You know, it's interesting when you look at the story of Naaman's life. What makes him different is, one, he was a great military leader. Naaman was a great military leader. But the Bible tells us what made him different was he was plagued with a deadly disease called leprosy. What's interesting about leprosy is people that were lepers were not allowed to be along with the community. These were people that were exiled, or people that were kept outside of the city gates. So although this man, he was a great military leader, at the end of a battle, he had to stay separate and stick with his family. Naaman was a man who had experienced many victories, but although he experienced many victories, do you imagine being successful? Follow me. Imagine being successful but know you're dying. Because leprosy was an indicator that your flesh was being eaten away. So here you have a military leader, very successful, but he knows he's dying. Maybe that's what made him good at what he did, because how many know people who don't care are crazy? Come on, somebody. This is why I like crazy people that come to church, because I'm like, man, they are crazy. You know, there's some people that walk into the church, ain't got no respect for nobody. Right? I want to talk to the pastor. All crazy. And in my mind, there, I've had some people disrespectful, but you know what? When I see somebody disrespectful, I kind of, in my, I kind of smirk. I say, oh, I got a good one here. He doesn't know no bounds. He doesn't understand boundaries. He doesn't understand respect. And he's not one to shrink back. If I can just grab a hold of his life, if I could teach him the ways of God, he will have no boundaries. He's not going to respect the enemy. The enemy's going to say, sit down. He's going to say, no, I'm going to stand up. Come on, somebody. I like working with tough people. I don't know what it is. Me and my wife have always attracted tough cases. Because she was a tough case. Come on, somebody. I was a tough case. Come on, somebody. Now, some of you got to get to know your pastor's wife. You really do. Ladies, I encourage you. You have no clue what she's been through. Some of you got to have. Come on, somebody. Sister Jessica, come on, somebody. She knows how to get busy. She knows. She's like, keep it clean. Don't worry. Sister Jessica knows. She's been around. And listen, some of you have no idea. But you got to get to know your leaders, man. Get to know your pastors. Get to know the people that God's raising up in the church. But I think, I don't even know where I was going with that. Let me come back. Back to the message. What was it? Naaman was a tough case. Hello. You know what? I think that's what makes us unique as a ministry. That we don't shy away from tough cases, right? I want our leaders, and I've said it in meetings before, I want people at church that cuss. You're like, hold on, what? Hold on, let me explain. If all I have in the church are people that are holy rollers, then we're not doing our job in reaching people. But if I have a conversation every now and then, someone said, now I'm not condoning cussing in the church. I'll tell you right now. But what I'm saying is this, the fact that we have that in our church means we've accepted and we're reaching out. We need to be people that are not afraid to work with people. The other thing is, we got to learn to work with them. What I mean by that is, don't make them feel bad. Don't make them feel dumb. Don't make them feel shameful. You love on them. You don't change with them, but you teach them that that's not something you do. Amen. Naaman was a tough case. And this story illustrates a number of things that I just want to point out to you quickly. The story illustrates a man who was in a situation that almost seemed impossible to be cured from. But God puts him through a series of tests that he has to go through because God was growing his perspective. God was growing the way that he viewed himself. And you got to know this. God is going to call you to grow one way or another. If you come to this church, at some point you're going to be challenged to grow. In other words, you're going to be challenged to change. There are certain things that are going to be brought to light, and you're going to have to make a decision. Naaman was at this place. When you look at the definition of growth, this is what it means. To increase by natural development, to become mature or experienced. It is God's desire for us to continue maturing in the Word of God, in the things of God. So when we look at Naaman, there's a few things that I want to point out. Naaman was used to being the man in charge. He was used to giving orders. He was used to being the military strategist. But here he was in a situation he could not control. Some of you don't do very well when you're in a situation you can't control. And God is putting some of you in a position where the only option you have is to trust him. Naaman knew what it was to be successful. But this disease he had, not even his military skills, his strategies was not good enough to heal him of his issue. Some of you got to know, your situation, it's not going to come, the answer is not going to come by what you think, what you know, or your plan. Amen. Naaman was in that place, a man that had leprosy. But there was a young girl who told his wife, only if my master would go see the man of God would he be healed. Naaman was desperate because he went at the word of this young lady. So the first thing that we find with Naaman, the first lesson that we see God wanted to do in Naaman's life, God challenged Naaman to grow in the area of faith. God wanted to challenge him to grow in the area of his faith. We know this because verse number 9 says, so Naaman went with his horses and chariots and waited at the door of Elisha. There was no guarantees he was going to get healed, but it was faith that drove him to try. Some of you, by faith, are going to have to just try something different. Doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result is going to drive you crazy. Some of you are literally at a place in your life where you're like, man, I've done everything, now let me try this. That might mean for you, you might have to develop relationships. Well, I don't trust people. Well, that's just it. God wants you to be vulnerable. God wants you to let your guard down so he can bring you a support system of people that he can bless you with. People that will support you when you go up and when you come down. Some of us are going to have to do things by faith. And faith is being certain of what you hope for and sure of what you cannot see. Faith is a gradual process. It doesn't come overnight. It's not like one day you wake up and you're like, I just believe. It doesn't work like that. And God is gracious in that he'll allow us to go through things and allow us to gain little victories under our belt so that we can face big things later. Here we find Naaman in need of a miracle. His skin was being eaten away, and he was in an unfamiliar territory. He didn't know what it was to be out of control. But this situation did not give him the luxury of knowing what was going to happen next. So here he gets on his horses, the Bible tells us, and he waits at the door of this man, Elisha. See, going to Samaria caused Naaman to step out of his comfort zone. He was used to his area. He was used to the kingdom. But going to Samaria was a whole other thing. And there are some of us, God is challenging us now to step out of our comfort zone. You're used to the six people that you hang around with, but God says, no, I'm trying to bring these people into your life. It's now time to develop some new relationships. Right? And this is why it's important that some of you get plugged in. Get plugged into a Bible study. We're going to be launching 5 more Bible studies here coming in the next few months. We're going to be starting our 12-step on Mondays. Me and my wife are going to start a Bible study. I know Brother Nakia and Arith have already started the gang Bible studies. We're going to even start a new evangelism Bible study, right? So we're going to start Bible studies. And the goal is that those of you who are called to teach, those of you who are called to preach or even shepherd and love on people, my prayer is that you would open your house and that you would be a person that learns to host people and teach people how to be normal. I came to church. I didn't know how to be normal. Come on, somebody. I go to somebody's house. Right? Right? Like, if I went to your house, you'd probably be uncomfortable for about 10 minutes. Right? 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 Some of us, we don't know it. There's some people that they're great with everyone or in a big crowd. Put them one-on-one and they're just fidgety. Did you exit 56 or did you exit 72nd when you came to church? Asking things that don't make no sense. But the whole purpose of a Bible study, right, is to follow after the model of what built the church. In Acts chapter 2, the Bible says that from house to house, they never stopped what? Fellowship, prayer, reading of the word. The Bible says they were like-minded with one accord, and God kept adding to their number daily. There are some of your friends, they will never come to church, but they'll go to your house. And guess what? You have some good food, you'll get all kinds of people. Come on, somebody. You'll get the scroungers. What's heavy is, let's say somebody says, hey, I want to be in your Bible study, and maybe it was just you and your wife or just you and someone else, but now somebody says, hey, I know how to cook. And you're like, really, you know how to cook? Why don't you cook? And then they cook a feast. And before you know it, we got another cook in the church. Someone that says, you know what, I have a gift. I love cooking for people. I love creating an atmosphere where people can just talk. Come on, somebody. The easiest way to have a conversation, have some food. Come on, somebody. There's a reason we have food after church. There's a reason we have coffee. Right? There's a reason. There's something about when we just sit down and we're able to break bread. And my prayer is that some of you get to know each other outside of the church. Start inviting people. Hey, let's go out and grab something to eat. Or hey, let's go have a cup of coffee. Or hey, let's go for a walk. Come on, somebody. Yeah. Just a simple walk. You got to try things new. Back to Naaman. The Bible says that Naaman had went to Elijah's house. What do we see here? The fact that the Bible says he went and waited, it showed that he now had to wait on Elisha to show up. Psalms 27:14 says this, wait for the Lord, be strong, and take heart waiting for the Lord. It's not easy to wait on God when you need a miracle now. Naaman was in need of a miracle now. So the first thing we see is God was trying to stretch Naaman in the area of his faith, which leads me to number two. The second thing God wanted to show him by sending him to Samaria to meet with this man named Elijah to heal him, he wanted to deal with Naaman's view of himself. Follow me. Here you have Naaman, a great military king. He goes, what does the Bible say in verse number 10 through 11? When he showed up at the door of Elisha, watch this, the Bible says, but Elijah didn't come to the door. He sent a messenger. And the messenger told Naaman, go wash yourself seven times in the Jordan River. Then your skin will be restored and you will be healed of your leprosy. Watch this. Naaman became angry and stalked away. See, God was trying to deal with Naaman's pride. Because Naaman didn't expect a messenger. Who is this second-hand prophet? Come on, somebody. He didn't want the second-hand prophet. He wanted Elisha. He expected Elisha to come to the door. Later on, what does the Bible say? The Bible says that Naaman says, surely the man of God should have come out and waved his hand over me and cried out to the Lord. God didn't want to do it that way. God was trying to deal with his pride. Some good stuff. See, Naaman had a high view of himself. He thought that what was being asked of him was ludicrous. He thought, do you know who I am? I kill people for fun. Come on, somebody. Hey, you want me to stand on something, right? Huh? But listen to what it means to be prideful. Dignified sense of what is due to oneself. It's a high opinion of what somebody thinks of themselves. And a lot of times we can see ourselves a whole lot higher than what we actually are. We don't want nobody talking to us crazy. We don't want nobody calling us out on our stuff, right? What's ironic is we come to church because we want change, but then we want to address some issues in your life, and all of a sudden, hold on, pastor, I've been serving God longer than you. I was serving God when you were two. I'm like, I'm sorry. You may have been serving God this long, but why are you still? Come on, somebody. Been serving God since I was two. That means 33 years, you're still battling judgment. You're still drinking. You're still, come on, somebody. That's not to point anybody out. That's just more of the realities of, man, there's change that needs to happen. God wants to do great things in our lives, but my God, he can't take us to new heights if we don't deal with things that will defile our bodies. Listen to me. This is the part of the gospel a lot of people don't want to hear, but this is the God honest truth. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. You can't contaminate what doesn't belong to you. Listen, he gave that to you. And sometimes we just eat what we want, right? We just do what we want. We put whatever we want in our bodies. We drink. We smoke. Now listen, I got it. When I came to church, one of the hardest things for me to do was to stop smoking weed. Come on, don't look at me like that. Some of you know what I'm talking about. That was the hardest thing for me. Man, I gave up music. I was like, let's do this thing. And I was the guy, you know, there's that one, right? I'd be sitting there. Hey, man, you know God got a call of God on your life, bro. And there's always that one in the house. Yeah. Hey, bro, like he said, like, gone out of his mind talking about, hey, bro, you know that the Bible says that consider it pure joy when we go through trials. Man, I'm going to have a trial in the morning. My back's going to hurt. But listen, I'm going to consider it all joy. I'm going to go to church. Come on, don't look at me like that. Some of you know what I'm talking about. At some point, even if our heart is right, we look like a fool. Because we're contradicting the word of God. How can we tell the world that God is able, God is going to do this? We're still bound to little things. And those are just little things. But what about lying? What about judgment? What about gossip? Right? You know that every time you talk about somebody, you slander their name? You're basically assassinating their character. You don't even know the truth. We don't even know the facts, but we want to go tell a secondhand story that we got three times over to somebody else. But I'm talking about keeping someone else's name out of our mouths. Can I talk like this? Is that cool? It's just truth. You can get mad at me, but you got to love me. Romans 12:3 says this, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought to. Rather, think of yourself sober with sober judgment as God has given to each one a measure of faith. I'm not to judge you based on what you do or what you don't do. It's simply the measure of your faith. The only difference between great women or great men of God to regular men and regular women is their measure of faith. God will increase your measure, listen to me, when you respond in action and when you put into practice what the Bible says. As you do that, your belief, your ability to do things you never thought was possible is made possible because you were willing to trust God at His word. And pride is one of the main things that keeps leaders from growing. We have to understand that God sets all authority under the sun. It's God that sets authority. You need to understand that God has your time. Listen, there's going to be a time where you will lead. However, you got to understand you're in the situation you're in for whatever reason. God will raise you up. However, God can't do it if pride is rooted deep down in your heart. You know what's worse than arrogant pride? You know what arrogant pride is? Arrogant pride is people that just know. They just know, you know what I'm saying? Who's ever played sports? Just kind of wave at me. The athletes I hate are the ones that are good and talk crazy. I can't stand them because they're good at what they do, but you can't shut them up because they're good. Right? So a guy like me, I'm not that athletic. I'm going to hurt him. I'm going to kick him. You're getting away from me, boy. That's arrogant pride, when you just know you're good. But you know what's worse than arrogant pride? Silent pride. When you act humble, but deep down inside, you got a motive. When you act like, yes, I'm doing what the Lord says, but you want to throw in a little scripture to kind of make your point. I'm talking about living a lifestyle of humility. See, God was challenging Naaman to look at how he seen himself. God didn't send Elijah for a reason. He sent the other prophet because he knew it would rise up out of him. Now God could deal with it. Number three, the third area that God wanted to challenge Naaman, he wanted to challenge Naaman's perspective. This is a heavy concept to understand, and we know this because verse number 11 says this, I thought he would surely come out to me. He said, I expected him, listen to the words, I expected him to wave his hand over my leprosy and call on the name of his Lord and heal me. You know what's heavy about God's ways and God's perspective? His ways aren't our ways. The way that he does things aren't necessarily the way he's going to do. The way we think he's going to do them is not the way he's going to necessarily come through. And this is another place where we may get weary or we may get angry because in our mind we thought God was going to come through at a specific timetable. But I have a question for you. What if God doesn't meet your need? What if he doesn't do it when you expect him to? Will your commitment change? This is where you truly understand and you begin to weigh out, God, I love you just because of who you are versus what you can do for me. Because there are some people that leave the church because God ain't doing nothing. God has a great call on your life, and he needs to put you in the oven just a little bit longer because of what you're called to do. When the pressure really comes, you're not going to crack. But there are too many microwavable Christians. They don't want to go in the furnace. They don't want to stick around in the hot or go through stuff. They want to go in like a, come on somebody, like a cheap meal. You know what I'm talking about? Them TV dinners that are taste bland. They just want to pop up. Ta-da! Come on somebody. And listen, if that's the kind of process you want to go through, then guess what? People are going to taste it, spit it out. But there ain't nothing like a good piece of meat that's been marinated. Come on, somebody. For like I'm going to have some meat tomorrow, baby. If you believe you me, I'm going to marinate that pup. No, I'm just playing. Right? But there's nothing like a piece of meat that has been marinated. Some of you, God's just marinating you. He's letting you cook slowly, because when the world gets a taste of what you have, Isaiah 43:18 says this, forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? Some of us just got to acknowledge, God, you're doing something. You don't even have to understand. Just acknowledge it. Let your pride fall. Stop being angry with your situation and simply say, God, this is my situation. I don't know what you're doing, but I know you're doing it. What you've done at that point, you've relinquished your perception. You say, God, I don't understand, but I know you're doing something. Some of you just got to buy into the fact that he's doing something. Your situation might be a bleak right now, but my God, if you stick it out, if you just believe, who knows where you'll be in 6 months? Who knows what God's going to do? Who knows how he's going to provide? Who knows where you're going to be in a year from now? Maybe preaching on the other side of the world. Maybe because of you, 3 families are going to come to the church. People that almost died. But because of your faith, because you stayed in the slow cooker, you had enough substance to minister to their need. And listen, we don't need microwave Christians that don't got experience. We need people to say, I've been through some stuff. Listen, because the type of people we're called to reach, we got to identify with what they've gone through. We got to identify with their pain. We got to identify with where they've been. This is why you can't forget where you came from. See, Naaman in his mind thought it only made sense to go to the rivers of Abana and Pharfar instead of the Jordan River. But you know what's heavy? The Jordan River, where that's where the right? He was used to the Abana and the Pharfar River, or it's Pharpar River. He was used to those rivers, but God said again, I don't want you to go to the river you've known. I want you to go to the Jordan. Jordan was symbolic. Listen to me. It was symbolic of a new beginning. This is where many people fall prey. They fall prey to their own ways. They said, man, I don't want to do it that way. God's telling you to go jump into Jordan, but you're like, I ain't doing that, man. I'm going to the rivers of Abana. Come on, somebody. Right? For those of you in the home, God's saying, you go through the home. You're like, go through the home. There's going to be times you might get asked to do something, but what God's really doing, you got to learn to look beyond what's being asked of you, and you got to look at what God's trying to deal with inside of you. Some of us, we got pride. We just have an issue with authority. Some of you are mad at me right now. Come on, somebody. I'm telling you the truth. Right? I ain't going to lie. I got issues with authority. Sometimes I'm like, hold on. So, come on, somebody. God's still working on me. He's still working on you. But what I'm saying is, I've learned to identify. Know this. Everything that is said, there's always a hint of truth to it. People may say things about you that are unfair, totally off the mark. But one of the things I've learned to do, I've learned to come to these altars and I've learned to pray, God, is what they're saying correct? God, is there an area of my life that is putting this picture or on display? Now, if God speaks to my heart and he says, no, son, I'm pleased with what you're doing, then I don't even trip on it. I ain't even got to make my case. There are some of you, you don't know how to do that. All you want to do is fight. All you want to do, oh, what you talking about me? Hold on, brother, come see me outside. God says, no, I want to change that. I'm just trying to show you areas of your life. And some of us, listen, pride does not like to be examined. Some of you got to start examining your heart. You got to say, God, am I right? Are there things inside of me that are wrong? Some of us got to learn to undo what we've always known. We got to unlearn what we've already been taught. I love this quote, and I'll be ending here pretty quick. It says this: the spiritual illiterate is just somebody that can't read. The spiritual illiterate of the 21st century will not be the person that cannot read and write, but it will be the one who is unwilling to learn, unlearn, and relearn all over again. The spiritual illiterate of the 21st century is not the one that doesn't know how to read and write, but it's the one that needs to unlearn, relearn, and learn all over again. Sometimes you're going to have to unlearn what you've always known so that God can show you anew. God didn't want Naaman to go to the Abana River. He says, I want you to go to the Jordan. And I end with this. Number four. God ultimately was trying to challenge Naaman's obedience. Verse number 13 says this, because mind you, here he went to Elijah's house. Elijah didn't come to the door, right? Another disciple came. The disciple gave direction, and he said, man, and the Bible says he stalked off. That's what it means to stalk off. He just, angry he left. And here, this is where his servant goes back to him, knowing that his master needs a healing. He says, if the prophet had told you to do something great, wouldn't you have done it? So you should certainly obey him when he says, simply go and wash and be cured. You know, sometimes all God wants is our obedience. Obedience means this. It's carrying out the word and will of another person, especially the will of God. Some of you, God is simply saying, I just want you to be obedient. Some of you are in a situation right now that you don't like. And God's not going to uplift that situation because he's like, I just want you to be obedient. The minute you're obedient, he's going to open doors. The minute you fall under submission, some of you don't know how to submit. You have no idea. It's like to submit, what? That's a derogatory term. No, it's not. When you submit to the Almighty, listen, when you submit to the Almighty, there is a different power. Listen to me. When you learn to submit, you learn to come under the authority of the Lord. Listen to me. There will be favor put upon your life. There will be favor put not only in the eyes of God, but the Bible says in the eyes of man. Therefore, if you are a man under the authority of the Almighty, that means you'll submit to whatever he wants you to. That means if he tells you to go jump into the river of the Jordan, you're going to jump in. Even if the Jordan River looks nasty, you're going to jump in because it was God that told you. God told me to come to Tacoma. I didn't. I was like Tacoma, but God told me to come to Tacoma. We came to Tacoma. I didn't necessarily. Amen. Come on, somebody. It's not like when I came to Washington, I said, "Oh yeah, when I grow up and get big and strong, I want to move to Tacoma." Come on, somebody. But I tell you this: I love my city. Oh, there's. Listen to me. I lived in Seattle for 10 years, and there's nothing like, man. Today I was driving in traffic. I love Tacoma traffic. Come on, baby. I love the traffic. Oh, no, I don't love the traffic. I'm lying to you. But I like the area. Huh? I like everything about Tacoma. This is where God has called me. This is where he said to raise my family. This is where he said to plant the church. This is where he said to plant the men's home. This is where he said, listen, it's here that God has called us. Some of you got to start looking beyond your situation. Understand, listen, pull away from your situation and look from the outside in. Maybe you're here simply because at this time in history, God's going to use your life to do great things and impact thousands of people. I believe that out of this church, God is going to begin to raise up leaders that say, I'm willing to do whatever. And because you said yes, families are going to come to know Jesus Christ. Christ. There's nothing like when I see a family get put back together. There's nothing like when I see a man go through the home and be reunited with his children and then teach them the ways of the Lord. There's nothing like seeing a woman go through the women's home, or a woman that grabs a hold of the Lord and teaches her family and walks with dignity. Exodus 19:5 says this: "Now if you obey me fully and keep my commands, then out of all nations you will be my treasured possession." That's some heavy stuff. "Now if you obey me fully, keep my covenant, then out of all nations you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom priest, a holy nation." What was the contingency? If you obey. God wants to move in some of your situations, but you're battling obedience. I'll end with this. Our favor, the blessings that God puts on our life, will be stemmed from our obedience. You want to be blessed in all areas of your life, learn to be obedient in every area of your life. Amen. Not saying to do what I do. Just that's why I tell you. That's why we promote the podcast. Go back. Listen to the messages. Go to the website. If you have an Android phone or an iPhone, go listen to the messages. Go with your Bible when you have idle time. Instead of spending all that time on Facebook, go listen to the message again. Come on, somebody. Look up the scriptures for yourself. I could be lying to you. Yeah, there's some people that come to church. I'm like, man, I could be lying up a muck. Come on, somebody. And they're going to believe the pastor. Come on, somebody. Listen, go for yourself. Some of you got to learn to look the scriptures up for yourself. Don't trust everything you believe. Right? Verse 14. "So Naaman went, finally, now that he had gotten over himself." Now that he had gotten desperate, he came to a place where he said, "Man, I never met Elijah. All I got was a secondhand prophet. But I'm going to do it anyways." Amen. Verse 14 says this: "So Naaman went down to the Jordan River and dipped himself 7 times. And as the man of God had instructed him, his flesh became as healthy as a young child, and he was healed." 7 times probably didn't make sense to Naaman. But out of his desperation, he did it. Ironically, listen to me, the number 7 is the number of completion. And God wants to bless you. He wants to do great things in your life. But he's now saying, "I need you to dip 7 times. And I don't want you to go to the river that you know. I don't want you to go to where you normally go. I want you to do it different this time." It was not until Naaman fully surrendered to God and his way that the healing came. See, growth is a continual process, and God will always challenge us in the area of our faith. Listen to me, this is ongoing. Throughout your entire walk with God, remember, he takes us from glory to glory to glory. And to experience the next glory, he's going to challenge your faith and obedience. And if those two don't connect, you're going to stay where you're at. And I don't know about you, but I'm tired of being where I'm at. You deserve better. God wants to take you higher than you ever thought possible. But now it has to be up to your faith and your obedience. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Tonight, if you're here, if you can go ahead, and play something softly maybe Stephen, you can go show them on there. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I simply want to ask you to examine your heart tonight. Maybe you're at a place where you say, "Man, I can sense God challenging me to grow." Maybe you're at a place where things are out of your control and you're frustrated. Maybe God's challenging your perspective tonight. Maybe he's trying your obedience. Inside you, you know there are certain things you have to give up. Inside you know that there are things he wants to do. And it's now time. Tonight I'm going to ask you to examine your heart. I can sense the power of God here tonight. Jesus, have your way. Have your way, God. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm going to ask you to stand with me tonight.